and welcome to another edition of the Wagooga the Fuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuffuff It's a me. I wonder what like the flip version, like the war, you know, the Wario version of DG would be GD something. Obviously, it's hard to know where to start, so we're not gonna go too far back. We're gonna go way back in the deep, dark days of about a month ago. Why don't we talk quickly about the new agreement and some consequences going forward? For example, we're up to a 28. Oh, we're just starting with a 28 man roster, right?
Yeah.
I thought you meant 2018 playoffs.
Yes. I
We're
think everyone
giving
makes the playoffs now, right? Isn't that how baseball works?
pretty much.
Just the bottom four who are relegated to the minors.
Oh,
Listen,
if only we do need
ghostly.
a relegation system in baseball.
I don't, after last year, I'm not pushing too hard for that.
Right. The Twins would have been relegated last year.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, if you're consistently bad, okay, whatever. Anyway, let's not get too far into it, but what's are some things you liked out of the agreement? How about?
That there's going to be baseball. That's a
Yeah.
well,
huge
that's
one for
that's a
me.
good start. That's a
Plus,
good start.
yeah,
I
no,
like
I
that.
mean, go ahead. Go ahead, DG.
I like that they're playing all the National League teams now instead of
Hmm.
just one division. That'll make it
I
easier to see them play teams other
Yeah.
than the White Sox.
I think we were discussing this before, but yeah, living in Chicago, you got to see him against the White Sox all the time, unfortunately, but you had to wait, every 6 years to see him play at Wrigley. But
Right.
thankfully, that will not be the case.
On one hand, I do like that they're unbalancing the schedule a little bit. And on the other hand, man, it was nice to be able to play the Royals like 70 times a year.
That's true. That's true. Well, and for a time, the Tigers as well.
Yeah, not so
Yeah,
nice
I think those
anymore.
days are coming to an end.
Because of the agreement and because of the Tigers.
Now we will get to play the Marlins every year.
However, the Guardians are on a nosedive right now, so
Oh,
I'm
we're gonna have to start calling them the Guardies, aren't we?
the Guardians
we
forgot that the Guardians didn't notice that the lockout ended.
I think this is going to be the Guardians' worst season.
I think that it will also, in a way, be their best season.
Ching.
I refuse to call them the Guardians, though, because that's a silly name. I'm still going to call them the Clevelanders. It's a terrible name. It sounds like in The Dark Knight when there's like two random teams and it's the Gotham Knights versus the so-and-so Warriors or it's the same thing.
And Heinz Ward is there for some reason.
Yes, exactly. Heinz Ward exists in this universe,
Okay,
but
but
like, yeah, it's a terrible name. It's a terrible name.
Nivish, got any other lockout ending thoughts?
Do I?
Do you?
It was a month ago. I honestly don't remember.
It's hard to think of the good stuff. What's one bad thing that you are unhappy is included for now? Other than like perhaps the raising of playoff teams or
The end of the qualifying offer.
Yeah, who is it that's the last who is it that's the last player? Is it Conforto? Is the
Conforto
last
is still out there. Yeah,
is going to be
he's
the
gonna be the
last
last.
qualifying player to sign ever.
Yeah,
They're just gonna lock him out.
if he ever signs.
It's not gonna be till after the All-Star break.
Won't be after the after break, I was just gonna say.
He's gonna pull a Kendrys Morales.
Hopefully for him it works as well as it did for Kendrys.
No, but I mean, my general sense. I mean, did Hungry Joe? Do you think there was any other like significant from our perspective as fans? Is there any other significant changes? Because that's what I'm sitting here trying to
Yeah, no,
remember.
I asked the question and I was trying to think of the same thing. I mean,
But
obviously, we're
because
not
there's a
affected
lot
by
of
the.
inside baseball, and I don't really care about a lot of the money stuff.
Well, I mean, some of the other stuff doesn't affect us, like the universal DH, or at least it doesn't affect us as much.
Right. I mean, like
So,
that has, I mean, I like that.
yeah,
I
no,
think
I'm
that's a
fine with that.
good,
I'm fine with that.
like, yeah.
And they didn't do anything. They were talking about doing something with the shift, and they didn't, as far as I know, right?
Didn't. But I
Which
think it's coming.
it could
I
be. And
think
they're
that
saying the ghosty runners are coming back too.
those are coming back. But yeah, I won't be surprised if a shift change happens in the next year or two, as well as robot home plate strike zones.
See, I didn't even hear that over the past couple months. Were they talking about it?
They have been talking about it. Yeah, okay. It's in the ether. You know what I mean?
Isn't up to AA now too, right?
Yeah.
I think that everyone's going to utterly loathe home plate ball strike. I think that everyone's going to utterly loathe it.
I mean, everyone hates the existence of replay now. But the reason replay got instituted, why did replay get instituted? It wasn't because they just decided to do it. It's because everyone complains all the time about human umpires getting things wrong.
Yeah.
Hate replay now, right? Everyone complains about it in every sport.
Because no one ever thinks about the consequences of these little things. Like, okay, yeah, in theory, it sounds great to not have that 6 inches off the plate ball called a strike anymore. But honestly, if you look at those scorecards, that's not happening very often. They are extremely good at their jobs for the most part.
I was waiting for that qualifier.
I think the only replay that really has done a good job, though, is tennis replays, which are essentially doing the same thing that we want robot umps to do. It's a quick decision on in or out. So,
and to be honest, there's some balls there. The ball strike call would kind of be the same thing, too. That should be pretty instantaneous.
Right.
I think that's a fair counter argument. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're going to allow reviews of, you know, ball,
the coaches don't get to like throw the flag to challenge a ball or strike.
I don't think that that's where they're going to hate it. I think that where they're going to hate it is that it is not going to call the strike zone as they think it is.
Right. People are going to have to get used to what the strike zone actually is. Right. People, like in tennis,
eventually be okay with it.
It's exactly like in tennis. Like there is a defined court in tennis, as DG mentioned. There's a defined court outline in tennis. There's a defined strike zone in baseball. It's just that is not what a lot of people think it is.
The first time they see a curveball that looks like it's a foot and a half high called a strike, somebody's going to lose their mind.
Well, since that's still far in the future, maybe. We'll put that on the shelf for now. We have a transaction or two to talk about, it would seem. So maybe we should take this in somewhat chronological order.
Picked up the mighty Josh Godoy.
I was going to say, let's start where it matters. Brian Acuña on the shortstop that we signed. Yeah, I'm just picking out random names. Why don't we start with Dylan Bundy? So I forget the details of the contract.
We really don't have to.
Yeah, let's just go over it quickly. I don't think it was too egregious, the contract, right?
Contract is not egregious, no.
How about the pitcher himself? How about
Matt Shoemaker's contract wasn't egregious either.
I was going to say, where does he line up with some of our old friends like J.A. Happ and Shoemaker and all those guys?
He is definitely a Happ shoes.
He's definitely one of those type of guys.
He is in the fine tradition of Ramon Ortiz and guys that we try to forget were on the Twins halfway through the next season.
Okay, how about this? As far as warm bodies go, how does he do?
It really depends on what we're trying to do with the rotation, I think. I mean, honestly, either way, he's going to suck. But
Amish, answer the question. How warm is Dylan Bundy's body?
He runs a little hot, 99.2.
Ooh.
Which is hotter than his fastball, which has been sitting at a robust 88 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that first spring training game where he came out, just whipping him up there at about 88, 89, not quite.
I think 89 was a stretch.
Hey, this is going to be fun. Bailey over, Joe Ryan, hopefully your arms are nice and strong.
Anyway, to answer the previous question, $5 million with club option for 23 or a $1 million buyout?
I feel like that $1 million buyout is going to happen.
How much is the option?
A $5 million 1 year contract. He'll make $4 million in 22, and his deal comes with a club option. I don't know how much the option is.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, doesn't matter.
I think we can
safely lean on the $1 million buyout. Yeah.
You're right. It's a five mil guarantee.
All right. I believe next up was the Garver trade, correct? That was what started this whole thing in motion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that and I was pissed off.
Nimish was mad.
I was pissed off. I like Garver. I hated Garver like 6 years ago.
You hated Garver. You hated Garver last spring.
For a time, yeah.
You were like, play Jeffers all the time a year ago. A year ago, yeah. On this podcast.
I probably was, actually.
Well, obviously,
no, it just...
Okay, let's look at that trade in the microcosm, because basically it was right. Completely unconnected from the next trade at the time. It so was. What did you think of the return at the time?
I mean,
Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
I thought it was fair. I wasn't, you know, in my mindset at the time was, I mean, they had a gaping hole at shortstop at the time.
Right.
And Kiner Falefa is a good defensive short. I mean, he's basically, it's like signing Andrelton Simmons, except he's younger, hopefully will hit better, and hopefully, you know, doesn't make defense. Everybody, well, he may, I mean, at this point in Simmons' career, he might be, yeah, in another kind of defense, maybe.
Right.
But at this point in his career, he probably isn't any worse than Simmons. I mean, he probably isn't really worse than Simmons defensively. And he could hopefully hit the way we would have hoped Simmons could hit last year.
The way that Simmons will this year.
Probably will. Simmons probably will this year.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's without question. We talked about that several podcasts ago.
We did, yeah. But I liked getting Kiner Falefa because trading a catcher was a logical move, I think, to do that because, like, they have two guys. They have two guys again, but they had two guys at the time who should probably be starting catchers, or at least if they really believe in Jeffers and want to give him a shot, they probably should give him everyday catcher level of a shot. And Garver, you know, is getting older. Hasn't ever really been fully healthy except for one year.
I was going to say, last year there was a lot of injury time.
Right. The year before that, I mean, 2020, he missed plenty. I mean, obviously 2020 was short, but he missed plenty of season in 2020.
That's right, also. Yeah.
And was terrible when he was on the field.
Right. So, like, with Garver, and, you know, and there's a question if, like, I mean, he is a solid catcher right at this moment when he's healthy, but there's a question of how long you're going to be able to keep playing him back there. So, yeah, I thought it, I mean, like, I like Garver too. I mean, I've said this to, I think, all of you. Guys who can hit like him and can play catcher are pretty rare, but, you know, there's a lot of caveats with those things for Garver specifically that I think make it was a logical place to trade from to get a shortstop that they needed at the time.
And, yeah, once you and I kind of talked it piece by piece through,
Once he talked you off the ledge?
My knee-jerk reaction was probably proven to be not as much of a thing. And in retrospect, it didn't even matter. It was it was irrelevant. But
real quick, any thoughts on Ronnie Henriquez, that pitcher who came along from the Rangers?
Yeah.
He's tiny.
He is tiny.
Yeah, I just noticed that. He's 5'10". Really tiny. Yeah. 5'10", 155, it says.
He's not 5'10". The Rangers writer was like, he's 5'8", maybe.
That is one of those.
I'm taller than him.
If that's the case, I wonder if he's actually 155.
I mean, in basketball, they do this all the time where they round up. They put you in shoes and measure your height with shoes on, and then they round up from that. Mm-hmm. Like Daniel Oturu for the Gophers was listed as 6'10" his entire career with the Gophers. And when he measured at the NBA Combine, he was like 6'8".
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, is this someone that we should be keeping an eye on, or just kind of someone that was thrown in?
No, I mean, he actually is a pretty interesting prospect. I think he fits into, like, he kind of, you know, continues to deepen out that range of AAA to AA group of pitchers that the Twins have right now. I mean, we've probably talked about them on this podcast before, but, like, you know, there's probably at least, what, 6 to 8 guys in those levels that are what I term interesting. None of them really are like don't have like a Sixto Sanchez of a couple years ago type of prospect cred, but they're all like interesting pitcher pieces, you know, going from Josh Winder, Belazovic, Yoan Duran, Cantorino, Simeon Woods Richardson, who they got in the Barrios trade, you know, Drew Strotman, who they got with Joe Ryan in the Cruz trade. And I would put Henriquez in the category with those guys. Like they deepen out the group. He helps deepen out that group in terms of if they want to use them for a trade later on. It's a credible piece to either use in a trade or, you know, fill in as it's still a decent prospect for somebody else that they use in a trade. So, like, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll either see him here probably in the next couple of years, or we'll see him as a decent piece of a package for somebody else down the line.
Even without the day after the trade, yeah, that wasn't, I mean, on paper, that's not bad.
Right.
Garver for, yeah, well, that was decent. Yeah. And yeah, I did share that same initial feeling, but I did kind of also simmer down on it. But again, as you guys said, it was irrelevant because the next day we had Isaiah.
But there was a trade Sunday morning, and then there was a trade Sunday night.
Oh, you're right. That one came first. Okay, yeah. So, all right. You're right. Let's do this chronologically. So we have Chase Petty for Sonny Gray. Let's start with the Chase Petty side. Like
that's the one that made the next trade way more palatable, because if they'd happened in reverse order, I would have wondered what in the hell was happening.
Yeah, imagine if the trade Sunday night had happened Sunday morning, and right after the trade Saturday for Connor for Leffa, and then.
Yeah.
But no, I think Nibish and I were both on the Sonny Gray for Chase Petty trade. I can't remember what we said on this podcast about Chase Petty. We probably tried to slow walk it, but neither of us liked that draft pick at the time.
I think at the time I said that he was gonna have 2 Tommy Johns by the time he is legally allowed to drink.
Yeah,
I remember.
I think was back when I, my friend who's our big Reds fan texted me asking if there was any reason why he shouldn't like switch team allegiances now, whether or not this Petty guy was any good, and I'm like, and I just kind of let him hanging because I think it's a great trade for the Twins. I think it's a unequivocally great trade for the Twins, even. If that lottery scratch-off ticket that the Reds just picked up happens to pay off, I think it's one you make 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, it is a wash on the level of baseball name between the two. I mean, those are both pretty solid baseball names. So yeah. that one was even, at least. Okay, so what are we looking for from Sonny Gray this year?
We're looking for as many.
What do we want?
As many innings as we can get.
Right.
200 solid innings. Just good, solid innings. He doesn't have to be an all-star to make the trade good. He just has to pitch a lot of innings that don't suck.
Yep.
I thought I was going to get a basic answer to that very, very basic question. I apologize.
What were you looking for?
I don't know. It was something more nuanced, but I can't think of it myself anyway.
I mean, honestly, that's what we want out of it. I mean,
I suppose.
Non-sucky inning. There's going to be enough sucky innings potentially in that rotation to where some non-sucky innings are going to be really nice.
Okay, so win for the Twins on that trade. Doing good. Now let's move to the far off land of like 2-3 hours after this. The mega deal. We got IKF and Ben Rorkvet going to the Yankees and Gary Sanchez and Shayla. Oh, I'm sorry. There's one more important part to that. There's one more important part.
I was
leading up to it. I was leading up to it. You know, it's building suspense. Anyway, Shayla and Sanchez to the Twins. And of course, Josh Donaldson and his very large contract to the Yankees.
So
what was your first? How about this? What was your very first thought? I can put in the car horn. Go ahead.
I did think that, but then I immediately thought, like I said, if they had happened in reverse order, I was like, it would be obvious that they were tanking.
Right.
If it was in reverse order, but the fact that they had just traded a round one prospect meant there was no way that they didn't have other reasons for doing this.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the fact that they had Sonny Gray in hand already when they made that next trade makes you think. Yeah, I completely agree. You had to look at it as like they're not just trading Donaldson to dump the money; they're trading Donaldson to dump the money to use the money.
Yeah. Now I had to talk some family members down about this one. I'm like, there's something else coming. There better be, but there's something else coming. Just wait for it.
The only thing I was worried about was that they were immediately going to do to Sonny Gray what they did to Kiner Falefa and be like, oh, hey, we can flop him too. And it was a minor thing, but it was in the back of my mind like, okay, they're not going to do that, are they? They're not going to flip a round one prospect for a dude and then flip him for like two double A guys or something, right?
Huh. It's not inconceivable, but so far they have not.
The next piece, I kind of doubt they will. But
so what do we think of? So what do we think of this big trade from a baseball perspective?
Oh God, I hate every bit of it.
Yeah,
from a baseball perspective, I hate it. Just,
I mean, I don't love having it. To take Gary Sanchez.
But I mean, we're gonna you know, supposedly Roachvet's gonna be the next Butera. We'll see. Would have been nice to have, but you know, he moved on. So
I bet there's a guy we can get in free agency that'll be maybe better. Maybe we'll get Story, or maybe we'll get who was the next guy down?
Jose Iglesias.
It was Iglesias, I think.
Yeah, real quick, there was a question at the time, but I'll ask it again.
DG loved that suggestion.
There was a question at the time, but I'll ask it now. Will Sanchez and or Urshela be in a Twins uniform opening day?
I don't think we could get Sanchez out of a Twins uniform if we tried.
Like, if they DFA Sanchez, then sure.
That is the only way, and they're not going to DFA Sanchez. It would be,
no, I don't think so,
colossally either. Pointless.
Yeah.
How much is he even getting paid?
It says
2022 is 7.5.
I think he has an arbitration hearing coming still, so it's not set yet. Yeah, I think so. I don't remember what the difference was going to be, but I do think he's still. It wasn't agreed upon.
He's a free agent next year, though.
Right, right. No, I mean, Urshela will definitely be in a Twins uniform this year.
Yeah, and I think he'll be good. He'll be fine.
He'll be
somewhere between good and fine.
Will he be the regular third baseman?
Yeah.
I would say he'll be the more often than anybody else.
Slightly more often than Arai.
Yeah.
Arai's going to see a lot of time at third this year.
I agree with that, yeah.
All right, and then just looking, not, you know, even this trade only or everything as a whole, what do you feel about losing Donaldson? Not even thinking about the contract.
So how do you feel about Donaldson's tenure as a Twin? That's a big, huge thing. Yeah. And then he had some good, some profoundly negative. Just, it was a mixed bag, right? I mean, he was everything kind of that they thought he would be, and nothing that they thought he would be.
Yeah.
He provided a spark and didn't provide enough of a spark and got ejected in an elimination game. So I don't know. Yeah. He showed up the umpire when he was crossing home plate after a home run.
Oh, well, that wasn't an elimination game.
Playoff game.
No, that wasn't a playoff game. Eddie Rosario got ejected in a playoff game.
No. Yeah.
That was Donaldson's fault.
Donaldson was hurt and wasn't even on the roster for that playoff game, yeah.
If Josh Donaldson had been there, he could have stopped Rosario.
That's right. Definitely. He could have been the cooler head. He could have been the
cooler head. Yeah, which famously Josh Donaldson is.
Didn't the home run happen in the Astros series?
No, that was against the White Sox.
Yeah, that was in Chicago. Because it was...
I'm going to hand Josh Donaldson an apology and tell him that I've been remembering that wrong all this
time. He got into a thing with Giolito last year. But in 2020, he hit a home run. I don't remember who the pitcher was off of in Chicago. Maybe it was Reynaldo Lopez. But he hit a home run, crossed home plate, ran back to the umpire and kicked dirt over home plate because he didn't like a strike call before that. That was not a playoff game.
Okay.
But anyway. Okay.
Well, in any case,
Josh Donaldson story, guys.
Josh Donaldson, we hardly knew. Let's move on because we don't have a lot of time for this first segment. Okay. Really quick.
Yeah, ultimately, here's my quick 5-second thing on Donaldson. I liked him. He's a good player, but his money is to get rid of is fine if you replace it with somebody better. And they did.
I think that's exactly it. Super quick. What do you see Sanchez's role being this year?
I think he will play a lot of DH. I do think he will catch a fair amount. We'll see what happens, but the way they're acting, I don't think they're going to not have him catch at least some, but I do think he will DH a lot.
Yeah, that's kind of where I thought it might land. Cause yeah, I mean, Sano still has first base to himself pretty much. So yeah. Okay. And also let's do one quick passing comment on the signing of Joe Smith to a 1-year, $2.5 million contract. Seems like a pretty, solid bullpen arm.
Yeah. And he throws side arm and he's a lefty.
I love that we have a sand. I love that we have a side armor again. I don't know about again. When was the last time we had one? Doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. Anyway, yeah, it seems like a decent pickup. So good on them. And now the big sign that we have just about 6 minutes to talk about is the momentous signing to a minor league contract of Chichi Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. That was a bit further down the train. Yes, Carlos Correa, a 3-year, $105.3 million contract, which is really going to be a 1-year blah, blah, blah contract. Anyway, so yes, when totally we saw fun. That, everything clicked together. I mean, we knew / hoped it was coming. And I don't think anybody was expecting this, though.
No.
Anyone who says that they were expecting it is completely lying. I'd hoped that that's what they were opening up the salary for.
I was thinking it might be like a long-term thing with Story. Like there was, right. You know,
I think almost everyone who tried to read into it.
There was like some MLB trade rumor stuff like, oh, hey, they're still in on him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I knew that I had to be happy with Story, but man, I don't know. I am a little bit worried about his away from Coors numbers. I don't know if he's going to be superstar level. I think he's going to be very, very good, but I don't know. And now I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
He's Boston's problem.
And Boston
or
will move
Xavier
him to,
possibly. I don't know.
Boston will move him to second base next year after Xander Bogaerts opts out. And so he'll have a 10-year contract with the second baseman.
Yeah. And I don't envy that at all.
You can do that when you're Boston. You can't do that when you're Minnesota. So that's why you sign a 1-year, $35 million contract with 2 player options for the next year and the year after that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love everything about that signing. Every single little thing about that signing.
It is a great signing. And it's kind of weird that you're almost rooting for it to be a 1-year deal.
Yeah. Bo texted me right after and he's like, oh, there's a lot of player options. I'm like, oh my God, I hope he exercises that option because that means he had a hell of a
deal. Yeah, exactly.
Where $35 million next year is not going to be near enough. Oh yeah. Sign me right up for that.
Right.
Yeah, no problems there. My dad was a little skeptical about this. And I was like, no, every part of this is great. Trust me. You want him to opt out. You want 1 year from this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's the best. Something insane happens. But yeah.
There's a very realistic chance that if both of the main players on the team absolutely go off, they could finish 1-2 in the MVP. It's not likely, but it is absolutely possible.
I mean, just think, Buxton and Correa together, like if you get the 90th percentile production out of both of those guys, you're talking about top 5 MVP candidates for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gary Sanchez, number 3.
If Gary Sanchez makes number 3 as a DH, then oh my goodness, we're winning 120 this year.
You heard it here first, folks.
We totally forgot the best part of all of this added up is that the Twins gave the Yankees Donaldson's contract and used it to sign the player they wanted the absolute most. It's just a cherry on top.
Handed them the money.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, because, yeah, the part we didn't address was, the Yankees. Why did the Yankees trade for Connor Falefa? Because they, like the Twins previously, also had a gaping hole at shortstop going into this offseason. And so the offseason talk for the Yankees is, the Yankees need a shortstop. There are like 15 top level shortstops available on the free agent market this year. Obviously, the Yankees are going to get one of them. No, they got 36-year-old Josh Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
I love it.
Fangraphs rates him as like the 18th best shortstop, though, so that's good, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
there was a lot of coping. There was a lot of coping happening.
The Yankees Twitter blogs.
Just, boards everywhere from
just the headlines of the Yankees blogs were just delicious. Oh,
yeah, well, we still beat the Twins in the playoffs, and Trevor Plouffe was like, they haven't won the World Series since you were like 4. Shut up.
All right, real quick, we just have 1 minute left. I almost completely forgot the signing of Chris Archer today.
That was why we podcasted in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. It's 2.5 million with a 10 million mutual option and up to 6 million in bonuses, as I said on the page. I have no problem with bonus based contract, especially in this case.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we were happy. The bonuses. We're happy that played into the Buxton contract a lot. It made sense for both sides. So yeah, with this, I have no problem whatsoever with this deal.
Yeah, the contract is totally fine. The Archer, you know, Archer expectations on the field are a big question mark. You know, I think if he's healthy, he can be better than Dylan Bundy. I'm not sure Nibish agrees with that part. But
no, if he's healthy. I don't know the last time they signed somebody who's this obviously going to be injured. I think that it's on its own good signing. It has the potential to be good. I think it double necessitates that they're going to need to make a trade. They're going to have to solidify things in some way.
Actually, that's another good point. Are there any moves still left to be made that need to be made or anything?
They still probably need to trade for a starter. I just don't know if they're gonna do it before the season actually starts.
How many of the A's pitchers are left? Was it two left or
two left? Yeah, Anaya and Frank.
They've got all the starters. They got eight starters. They can keep trading for days, but they got the two that anyone cares about. And I'm not so sold on Manaya. It's Montas, and if you don't get him, I think you're just better off waiting around to see what else opens up.
Yeah, see if you can hang around in contention to get to July and see who else is out of contention and might want to trade somebody then.
But the problem is with the Twins, with their current rotation, can they hang?
You may not be able to hang until July, right?
The whole thing with Correa is that you are building a team built for one season. And if you cannot, if all you're building around him is Chris Archer and Sonny Gray, and Sonny Gray is good. I love the Sonny Gray trade. But if all you're building around him is, yeah, exactly. If all you're doing is Bundy, Archer, and Gray, then, I know they're not, but they're going to have to figure it out. And they're going to have to do it quick.
Real quick, we have like 3 seconds. It's a great deal. It's a nice bet, so let's go for it. We will be back in a few moments. Wow, that was a stupid way to sign off.
Intermission. Yeah! Cha-ching!